Turn your Bibles to the book of Titus. But if you'll please stand for, in love and respect for the Word of God, we'll read a little bit here in Titus chapter 2. I don't know exactly how far we're going to get tonight, but we'll do our best. But I do want to read through these 15 verses. And why don't you just listen while I read and follow along there. The Bible says here in Titus 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So generally speaking, I'm going to title this simply, Passing the Torch. Passing the Torch. And in some ways, in the prayer, I emphasized the heartbeat behind this message. I am not the end-all of pastors at this church. You understand that, okay? We've just gone through a transition, all right? And I am extremely appreciative of the work that Brother Asbury did here, and I know you are as well, and you ought to be, okay? But he isn't going to be the last pastor of this church. Nor I, as the new pastor, and I'm not going to probably be the last pastor of this church, so on and so forth. And nor maybe all of you weren't the first members of this church, although some of you are, okay? But you're not going to be the last ones. All right? And so we have something to sustain here. Do you understand? And that God wants us to take part in sustaining. A father endeavors to pass on things to his children, a mother likewise. And why do they do that? Because there's something to pass on. There's something there that's needful to pass on. If we all came equipped with everything we needed, then we wouldn't have to pass on things to everybody else, right? You understand that? And so our time on this world is unknown. We do not know how long we're going to be here. We do not know how long it'll be till the Lord comes again. So we've got to prepare for it to continue in our absence. Because that'd be foolish or short-sighted if we didn't, correct? And so we've got to prepare. I mean, surely we all hope that he's going to come and come again soon or perhaps in our lifetime. But that may not happen. So then what? So then what? Okay? And I told you before a little bit about my testimony. I mean, I grew up in church, but when I went to Calvary Baptist Church in Italy, just a little mission church there to sailors and to military folks, or well, really it was to anybody who'd come. But the point was, is when I entered that building and I went to that service, even though I'd gone to church my whole life, for the first time in my life, I felt like I'd been to church. It was amazing. There was something different about it. Just as much as there's something different about coming here to this church and to gather together with these people under these circumstances. And can I tell you, friends, there's something to pass on. There's something to pass on. And so I think it is very important for us, especially in the light of what we're dealing with in this pandemic and in this world today, and in the way the government is shifting and things are shifting in our country. I think it's even more important now than it was before to make sure that we are passing the torch in our churches and in our lives as believers. The devil has deceived his way into our country, into our personal lives, into our churches. He is into our homes. You say, the devil's in my home? Probably. Because, why? Why do I, what is, but we're good, we have a good Christian home. Yes, but the devil loves to get his foot in the door. And he'll think of all kinds of sneaky ways to do it. And so he guess what? He's not just going, oh, that's a godly Christian home, I'm not going in there. No, actually, he's going to say, that's a godly Christian home, I'm getting in that house. Right? You just painted a little target on your door, okay? Because he wants in. And so his best trick is taking things that God says are good and kind of twisting them just a little bit over time and making them not good anymore. He loves to do that. And so we've got to stay true to the old-fashioned, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist principles and doctrines and things, that we've got to stay true to them without compromise. Without compromise. You know what? In my home, I may decide that it's okay for my wife to paint the walls a certain color. I mean, I really don't care. I'm not really crazy about pink, but, you know, the girl's room is pink, okay, but my room is not pink, okay? I'm not going to fuss about it. If she wants to paint it orange or chartreuse or, you know, polka dotted or whatever, whatever, okay? I'm not going to fight about that. But we get to talking about salvation. We get to talking about things that are according to the Word of God, these doctrines. And as we read here in Titus, Paul encourages Titus to do these things. To make sure, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And that word doctrine is mentioned many times here in this chapter. And he said, I'm not moving on these things. And can I tell you, folks, today our world is changing and our society is changing, but we're not. At least I'm not. And if you want to change, you can go somewhere else. But I'm not going to do it. Because we've got to be able to pass the torch on to the next generation. And so we've got to do it a certain way. So let's first describe what these torches that we're talking about are. First of all, we have to stand true and pass on the torch of salvation. The torch of salvation. Salvation is one way. One way. Not many ways. Not many saviors. Not many gods, one way, one God, that's it. I'm not moving on that. And we've got to pass that down to the next generation. We've got to pass that torch on of salvation through Jesus Christ. That is it. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That little word, the, is one. One. Not many. One. It is singular. The way. The truth. The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We understand that is salvation. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not any other way. And you know what? That is called narrow-minded, right? That is called archaic. That is called old-fashioned. It's called a lot of things. But you know what? It's the truth. And the torch of salvation is something we are supposed to pass down. We've talked many times about Matthew 28 and Acts 1, where we're supposed to go and we're supposed to be witnesses of this salvation. And that is something that we are all supposed to do. Go to Luke chapter 1 really quick. Luke chapter 1. We're talking about passing things down. Here we have Zacharias the priest. You may be familiar with this story. You know, Elizabeth and Zacharias were the cousins of Mary. And we have here, oh, by the way, just a little time out on this. I actually got to see the painting in the city of Florence, Italy. They have a really big art museum. And I don't recommend you go to some of these museums. Okay, I went before I knew better. There's some things you should not see in those places, okay? I'll just leave it at that. But I was there, and I did see there was a picture portrayed of John the Baptist as a full-grown man and the mother, Holy Mother Mary, and baby Jesus. I'm sorry, folks. They're 6 months apart, about roundabouts there somewhere, okay? Not 30 years old to 6 months old, okay? That doesn't exist. Okay, anyways. That was just kind of, I just popped in my head. Okay, I got to avoid those things. Now, I'm never going to get done if I do that. Here we are in Luke chapter 1, and look at verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." This is John the Baptist. His father was a priest. But his father prophesied, according to the word of God, what this child was to do. He's passing the torch. What he was to become, he's passing the torch. He raised that boy up in a certain way, according to the prophecy that had been given to him and shown to him by God. He passed the torch on. And what was John? He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He became what he was supposed to become. He did what he was supposed to do. And folks, we've got to do the same for our children. And one of those torches is this torch of salvation. He was to preach. He was to set in place the things for Jesus to come and to preach the gospel and to see people saved. Salvation is one of the torches we need to pass on. We know there are many verses that talk about this. In Acts 13:26, the Bible says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." It's sent. And it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We understand that it's sent to everyone. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we got to pass on the torch of salvation. That's why it's important for us to go out into our community and to hand out gospel tracts. Like in here. This one. Okay? We want to tell people about Jesus. We want to pass on the torch of salvation. You know, like I said before, the devil's tricky. He tries to get people to think that there's other ways to heaven. There's other ways of salvation. Oh, you don't have to do like those narrow-minded Baptists do. You can still make it. You know, because there's a great big scale up in heaven, and God's going to weigh what good and bad things you've done. I missed that part. No. No, no. It's a torch that we've got to pass on. The torch of salvation. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. This is very interesting. As I said, as I was going through this, just things kept popping up. Hebrews chapter 2 is close to Titus, I said before. And don't worry, we're going to be going back there in just a second. Hebrews chapter 2. Look here in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Sounds like this is something to be passed on. Sure and steadfast. Unchanging. Is it not? He says, don't let him slip. Don't let it slip. Hey, listen, folks, we have a responsibility to pass on the torch of salvation, yes, to the next generations, but to every creature, the Bible says. We're supposed to pass it on to the whole world, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We understand this. And yes, we want to go out and reach one this year. But we need to reach our families and our children and our grandchildren. And we need to make sure that the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren have an opportunity to have the torch of the gospel, the torch of salvation, passed on to them. And so we've got to, that's one of the torches we've got to pass on. The next torch that we want to look at very quickly is simply the torch of the Christian life. The torch of the Christian life. You know, a lot of times people get salvation and living a Christian life confused. Yeah, they do. They think, and this is where kind of some of the work salvation things enters in. They say, well, if I don't live a good Christian life, then I can't go to heaven. Well, no, no, no. Salvation is one thing, and the Christian life is to follow. Okay? And you can't live a Christian life if you're not saved, okay, if you're not a Christian. You've got to be born again and then begin to live the Christian life. But can I tell you something? That's tough. And honestly and truly, salvation is easy and it's supposed to be. It's a whosoever will may come. And God wants all to have salvation. And he does want all to have live a Christian life as well. But can I tell you something? Living that Christian life is somewhat difficult. It's somewhat arduous, if you will. It's not easy. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I like challenge. Challenges are okay. Right? They're interesting. I mean, things that are really, really easy, they're just kind of boring, right? Like, okay. It's not boring. The Christian life is tough. It's a battlefield. It's a warfare. And we've got to fight the good fight of faith. I love what he says there. I'm going to continue with that verse here in just a minute. But he says, fight the good fight. He says, lay hold on eternal life. Don't you love that? Those are action words. Listen, that means there's something to fight for here. And the Christian life is one of those things we ought to fight for. Our morals are being eroded day by day by day. Our standards are being eroded day by day by day. Our convictions, our values, the things that we set upon as who we are as Christians. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, in the chapter 11, verse 26, and when he had found him, speaking of Barnabas and Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Notice this. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Where did this whole thing kind of begin? In Jerusalem. Why weren't they called Christians first in Jerusalem? And remember, because of Saul, the very man that we're talking about here in this passage of Scripture, they were scattered abroad, right? So why weren't they called Christians first at this place or that place or some other place? Well, I think there's something here. They were assembled a whole year together and taught much people. This was being passed on. This torch of Christianity was being passed on. Looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, being like Jesus, eating, breathing, sleeping, dreaming Jesus. I mean, they were Christians, little Christs. Yeah. And this was not a name given by their friends to them. It was given to them by their enemies. Someone else noticed that they looked like Jesus and acted like Jesus and talked like Jesus and did the things Jesus did and didn't do the things that Jesus didn't do. Does anyone notice that you're a Christian? We need to pass it on to our children and to other people. Hey, this is something we need to pass on. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We're supposed to pass it on to someone else. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul talking to Timothy. Here's an older preacher talking to a younger preacher. Passing on some things, this torch of Christianity, here in 1 Timothy, and we're looking at verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man, look at verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Isn't that something? Things that he's passing on in by the way of what's a Christian? What's a Christian look like? What's a Christian sound like? What's a Christian act like? You know what, moms and dads? It's okay to tell your kids, we don't talk like that. Well, we don't do those things. Oh, but everybody's doing it. Yeah? Name two.
Billy and
Okay, that's my thought. Everybody, huh? No. No, not everybody. Yeah, come on, some of your parents are smiling. You've been there. Huh? No. Listen, my mom and dad told me many times, Eric, that's not what a combs does. Doesn't the Bible say something about a good name is rather to be chosen? Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the best name. Christ. Christian. We've got the best name. And you know what? Christians just don't do certain things. And you know what? That's okay. And we've got to pass that on. So what my friends... why does it matter what your friends think? Are your friends your Savior? Oh, no. Jesus is. Let's just worry about what He thinks. Yeah, that should take care of it. Listen, we've got to pass along the torch of the Christian life, our morals, our standards, our convictions, our values, that they are under attack today. You know, this nonsense that's going on in our world today with the politics and all the stuff that's happening with all of that. And you know, they're censoring on social media all these different things. Well, you know what? I'm not going to be belittled or shamed into thinking the way I think, or not thinking the way I think. Not me. There are some things that are just not right. And I don't care what society says about it. Hey, I'm sorry. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. And God decides who they are. Yeah. That's, Brother Combs, you shouldn't say that. Why? Why? It's not my opinion. It's God's word. Hey, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Just not that way. It's not. Man and woman. That's how it's supposed to be. Oh, you're stepping on toes. Controversial things. Well, maybe to you. To me, they're not controversial at all. Because God says they're true and it's true. I don't have a controversy about it. I know what I believe. And I know that I believe God. We've got to pass that on to our young people. Go to James chapter 5. You're close by there. Right after Hebrews. Okay, and Titus were before Hebrews and James were after Hebrews. James chapter 5. Look at verse 7. Well, see, I told you I was going to run out of time. James 5, look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Sounds like a charge to pass the torch of the Christian life. Hey, don't just endure. He says, count them happy which endure. You know what? What do these prophets stand up and do even though Israel wouldn't listen? Thus saith the Lord. And we've got to do the same and pass on the torch of the Christian life. One more passage on this torch here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Right next door here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Oh, look at verse 11. There's just too much here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. See, is that part of that Christian life? Moral standards? Yeah. Which war against the soul. We don't have time to go back to Romans where Paul talks about that fight. That's a daily battle. The flesh and the spirit. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You mean I'm supposed to live a certain way so people notice my life? Yes. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Yeah. What do they speak about us as Christians today? We're intolerant, right? We don't tolerate these things. Well, to be true, I might as a human being, but God doesn't. And I just follow what God says. He says that speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as to them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's a torch. The torch of the Christian life. You know, it serves a purpose. It serves a purpose. And it ought to be passed down from generation to generation. Now, you don't know this in my notes, but we're only on letter B of the first point. So, let's just round it out and we'll finish letter C tonight and we continue this later. Go to Psalm. No, don't go to Psalm. I'll just quote those for you. Psalm 119:11, remember that one? Yeah? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does a torch give? Light. Light. The torch of salvation. The light of the world is Jesus. Right? The torch of the Christian life. We're supposed to be like a light, a city, a light set up on a hill, right? We're supposed to let our light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. That's the torch of the Christian life. And then how about the torch of biblical principles? How many times was Titus told the word doctrine in this passage of scripture? Okay, it's I think 3 or 4, maybe even 5 times. I forgot to count. But it's in there. In Titus 1:9, it says, is holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, something about sound doctrine. Remember, we've learned before that we're supposed to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He said, Brother Combs, well, then why do we hold so strongly to this sound doctrine, to these Bible principles, when the Bible says they're going to stop listening to them? Well, they're not all going to stop. Some will hear. And those are the ones we want to reach. You know what? We've got to pass on the torch of these biblical principles. We know that the Word of God is also called a light.
We need to know that these torches are very important, not only to have a firm grasp of ourselves, but to pass them on to others. And not just our children, folks. I mean, this is wonderful. The children that we have here and the younger families that we have here in this congregation, and those of you that have grandchildren, and passing that on to your grandchildren. But can I tell you something? It'd be nice to have some more families in here to pass these torches on to. Wouldn't it? I mean, I love y'all, but I don't just want to preach to you. I'd like to preach to some more people. If that's okay with you, you'll still be my favorites, but we'll let them come in too, okay? Really? Right? Passing the torch. Just a few passages of scripture and we'll be done tonight. Remember in Acts, when the church was just growing, leaps and bounds, and they saw all these people saved, right? And they saw them baptized, such as should be added to the church. And what an exciting time. They just left them all out there, right? Wrong. No. I was talking to someone about this. I don't remember if it was here or somewhere else. No, it wasn't. It was somebody at Trinity. They said something about, the time at Pentecost when this was all preached, and the church went from 120 to 3,120. Same day. And I told them, I said, yeah, the reason why they sold everything and had everything common, because most of these people were travelers. And they didn't have anywhere else to go. They had come from all over the world to the Passover. And now they're born again. And these Christians that lived in Jerusalem took them in and shared with them and discipled them and passed on the torch. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They passed something on to them. Because after certain days, they were going to go back to their own countries. But for the time, they needed to be taught. And they needed to have something passed on to them. These biblical principles, doctrine, and godliness, and purity, and such and so forth. The doctrine of the Lord. In Romans chapter 6, he says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed him from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." You know what God says? He says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." When we get saved, we get a new thought pattern. It's His thought pattern. We get a new way of thinking. It's not human reasoning, it's God's reasoning. You know, a lot of the things that we do as believers don't make any sense to human beings, to Christians, to lost people. They only make sense to us. Why? Because it's God's thoughts. It's God's ways. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're supposed to be renewed in our mind. God wants us to pass along the torch of biblical principles. Oh, I knew I was going to run out of time. It's important to me to pass on things to my children. And I know, looking around, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, it's important for you to pass on things to your children likewise. But if we can take the advice of someone like the Apostle Paul, who wrote to a Timothy, and let's just end here tonight at back at Titus chapter 2, to write to a Timothy, his son in the faith, preacher boy, great pastor, but also to write into this Titus, who some believe was also a convert of Paul's, Because he says in verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Okay? He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And he says, exhort them to be obedient. And he says, teaching them. And he goes through and he says that we should be looking through that for that blessed hope. And he says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with authority. Let no man despise thee. He's saying, Titus, you've got to pass these things on to your people so that they can pass them on. He says, let the aged men do this, and let the aged women do this, and let the young men be like this, and the young women be like this. He says, pass the torches! Pass the torches. Can I say, folks at Lighthouse, this year, we're going to each one reach one here in 2021, and part of that entails passing these torches. We're going to come across some who are already saved that just need a good church home. They need to be taught some things and pass the torch and say, hey, hold on to this and pass it on to the next generation. Yeah. Or take one and pass it on. Take one and pass it down. Take one and pass. We got to get these torches out there and light up our world for Jesus Christ. Got to pass the torch.